Kim, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. This, of course, is WGN. You can reach us at 312-981-7200. A couple of weeks ago, I'm online and I'm looking at a story that has to do with the London Marathon. And there's a picture of two guys that are running the London Marathon, and their names are Johnny Benjamin and Neil Laybourn. And I say to myself, well, that's not that out of the ordinary to show two guys running the London Marathon.
Two buddies.
What's the big deal? Yeah, this happens all the time. That's nothing special, right? And then I find out their backstory, and I'll be honest with you, I had tears in my eyes because their backstory is beautiful. They join us on the phone right now from England, Johnny Benjamin and Neil Laybourn. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? We're great. Thank you.
We're thrilled that you're on with us. Do me a favor. Let's start at the very beginning. Let's start at the time you guys first met, and then we'll tell the story from there. And this would be January 14th, 2008. Tell about that first meeting, guys. What happened?
So I was 20 at the time, and I was really unwell. I was just been diagnosed with a form of schizophrenia. Something called schizoaffective disorder, which is like a combination of schizophrenia and bipolar. And I was in hospital. I was receiving treatment in a psychiatric hospital in London. And essentially, I just gave up. I was embarrassed.
Why were you embarrassed, Johnny? What was happening that was making you embarrassed?
Well, I was. You know, I thought when I was put into the hospital, I believed that I was being possessed by the devil. I believed as well I was being watched by TV cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And when the psychiatrist said to me, "This is all in your head, and you've got this condition," I mean, yeah, I was so embarrassed.
But you couldn't help that, Johnny. That was your brain was making its own stories.
I know, but I never had any mental health sort of education at school. I didn't understand back then. I didn't understand that. I thought it was me. I thought it was me as a whole person. You know, I was a bad person. I was being possessed by the devil. My brain was a bad brain, and essentially I'd never recover. That was the big thing that, you know, I'd never get better. Particularly, I don't know what it's like where you are, but, you know, for me growing up, I never read any positive stories about people with schizophrenia. In the English media, it's always, when people have schizophrenia, it's always like people are violent or dangerous. So when I got that diagnosis, I was like, I'm never going to get a job. And, you know, I'm never going to meet someone who's going to want to marry me.
Right. It's like your life's over, kind of. I can understand how you would feel that way because it wasn't talked about very much.
Not at all. Not at all. And I thought, what's the point? You know, what? Not just for me, to be honest, but my family as well. You know, it was awful. My family having to see me in this state in hospital. I just thought, this can't carry on, you know, like them visiting me every single day for years and years and years in hospital. It was just hopeless. It was really hopeless. And I just wanted out, not just for me, but for them, to be honest. I just felt like a burden and a waste but for my parents and my brother and just all of my family, really. I just thought it's just better for everyone if I just end it, really.
And Johnny, I want to reiterate, at the time you were very young. You're 20 years old, huh?
Yeah, I was 20, and I was studying. I was at university here at the time, and my prospects before were really good, you know. But then suddenly, with this diagnosis and being in hospital, I was like, no one's going to give me a job. I'm never going to work, and I'm never going to, you know, get back to just all my dreams. Everything that I wanted to do in life just suddenly seemed impossible, really. And I just couldn't bear it. Being in the hospital was really tough. No one was getting better. It was just, like I said before, it was hopeless, really. It was really hopeless, isn't it?
So in a series of dark moments, you decide for yourself that, that life is just not worth living, that there's no point in it. You're not getting better. You're getting worse. And you don't want to be a burden to your family and friends. And you just don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, huh?
No. And to be honest, there was other stuff going on. So I was struggling with my sexuality. Yeah. And that was a big part of this, to be honest. I come from a Jewish background, Jewish family,
yeah.
And you know, having mental health issues, and then knowing inside that I was gay, and not being able to, I just felt so much shame for me, but shame on my family as well. And I just thought I couldn't deal with it, and I didn't want them to deal with it. I just thought it was better.
That's a lot to handle, all that inner turmoil. If you want to be honest about it, Johnny, that's a lot. So you had decided it was time to relieve the burden. So you walked to a certain place, and is that where you met Neil?
Yeah, I ran away from the hospital. I said I needed a cigarette, and they let me out, and I ran away, and I went to this place, and I don't know how long I was there for. It was, you know, it's a kind of hazy memory for me, but I know it was around sort of 10 o'clock in the morning, and Monday morning, and then this stranger started talking to me. That's where Neil comes in.
So
Neil,
you were
the stranger
on the Waterloo Bridge. That's where your location was. Neil, why don't you jump in now?
So Waterloo Bridge is like, you know, one of the main bridges in the middle of London, in the centre of London. One of the busiest bridges as well. So like Benny said, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning and it's a Monday and, you know, it's so busy. And at that time as well, you know, January in London is so cold, probably not as cold as Canada,
yeah.
But, you know, pretty cold, horrible weather and everything. And it was a horrible rainy day. Everybody was in coats and gloves, hat and everything. But anyway, walking over that bridge on the way to work in the morning, I saw somebody sitting, you know, towards the end of the bridge on the railing, just facing the water, and he was just wearing a jeans and t-shirt, and just shivering, just looking out to the water, and just in his own world.
Neil, you could see the desperation on Johnny's face. You knew something wasn't quite right, huh?
Yeah, I got to the point where when I walked past, I had to approach him. Nobody else did, and I couldn't just carry on walking past. So I approached him and I said, you know, why? You know, I didn't know what to say. I said, why are you sitting on a bridge? And he looked at me and he said, I'm gonna take my life. I did. I'd never seen somebody in that much desperation, you know, like his eyes and I'd never talked to somebody who was suicidal before. I'd never even addressed the subject.
Yeah.
And I was asking him, you know, like why, and he was trying to explain what was going on, but yeah, he was in like a really bad place and didn't actually want me there. He kept telling me to go away, to leave him alone, and was getting very agitated, actually, and didn't trust me. Didn't want me to get my phone out or call anybody over. He just wanted me to go away and let him do this.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't go away, and how did you ultimately change his mind, Neil?
Yeah, I didn't know what to say. I didn't try to talk him down. I just was asking questions. I just stayed by his side, you know, just to reassure him. And it took a long time, you know, about 20 minutes or so, you know, just asking questions. And he started to open up and tell me about all the things in his head that he was going through. But he was still sitting on the bridge and I still couldn't get him away until I suggested, let's go for coffee. Let's sit down, let's go to the end of the bridge and have a coffee and just tell me everything, as much time as you need. I was trying to think how to get the police involved, actually.
Yeah.
And that was my way. But also, I actually wanted to hear as well, you know, what was going on. I'd completely forgotten about where I needed to be. I was just in this moment with this stranger. And he that was what changed, you know. And he became a bit more responsive, and he climbed over the side of the bridge. And then we were standing together, you know, like on the pavement, on the sidewalk of the bridge. And about to go for a coffee, somebody called the police. You know, one of the passers-by had called the police, and a police car came screeching up beside us before we were able to go for the coffee. And I had to grab Johnny because, you know, he panicked and went for the bridge. But the police came out and restrained him really quickly and. Kind of, you know, like took control of the situation, which I was happy about that, you know, he was now with the professionals. But so they took a statement from me, and so we'd been together like about half an hour by this point, and it was all happening so quickly with the police. They took a statement, then they took Johnny off.
Yeah.
Who, you know, they said they were taking him to a hospital, and they told me just to go on about my day and go back to work. So as quickly as I'd got into this conversation, it ended, and that's what I just thought. Okay, well, now he's with the professionals.
Sure.
So that, yeah.
But it did not end there. We'll tell you what happens next. Stick around. It's Johnny Benjamin and Neil Laybourne, all the way from England, telling their story, a fantastic story of friendship and saving a life. Stick around. We'll continue this next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Well, there's nothing better than when a sad story has a happy ending, and this would certainly qualify. Johnny Benjamin, we're going back a couple years here to January of 2008. Johnny Benjamin hit rock bottom. He was ready to end his life. Nothing was going his way. A series of problems just contributing to this, and Johnny decides to go on the Waterloo Bridge and take his own life. Neil Laybourne is on his way to work, and he sees Johnny, and he says to himself, I can't just let this man kill himself. I have to step in. So he starts talking to him, and they chat for a little bit, and then the police come by. And Johnny, they took you where exactly?
They took me to a hospital to be sectioned, and I stayed in the hospital then for another few weeks. I was eventually discharged, and you know, it took years, to be honest. It took another few years to really sort of get back on track, but. You know, what Neil did on the bridge that day always was in the back of my head. You know, his words of, because he said to me that day, he said something that no one else had said to me before, and that essentially was, you will get better. And those words stay with me, and they essentially got me through the darkest time.
And how did you guys reconnect after a certain amount of time? What happened there?
Yeah, it was 6 years. So 6 years went by, and when I started to feel better, I started to get involved with the world of mental health here in the UK. And I launched this like social media campaign to find him. But I actually, I called it Find Mike because I actually thought his name was Mike.
Oh.
So, I know. But nevertheless, we launched it. And just the response was amazing. It went viral. And yeah, through Facebook, Neil's wife actually saw it, and you know, she was the one that kind of said, well, she was the one that kind of reunited us, and Neil got in touch, and yeah, we reunited. It was just such a special moment, really, for both of us, I think.
So you reunited, and it's a wonderful moment. And then, how do you decide to run the marathon together?
Yeah. So when we reunited, which was 3 years ago, yeah, great question. You know, we started campaigning together just to be a bigger voice. You know, I learned about all the work that Johnny has done over the past couple of years, you know, reaching out with all the mental health charities. And I said, you know, I want to join you. This is so important, you know, getting to know him as a friend and working together, which led to last year. We were working with the royal family over in London, you know, Prince William and Princess Catherine. And their charity, Heads Together, was sponsoring the London Marathon. And we said to them, we met with them. They're doing work around mental health, and we said we want to support you, and we want to support your Heads Together campaign. And so we did. We ran the marathon 3 weeks ago in London, first time for both of us, and we managed to raise about £40,000.
Wow.
And we don't know, you know, what's next, but we want to really continue this journey to kind of tell our story of hope and recovery, mental health recovery, which there's just not enough stories of. You know, people need to hear about Johnny's journey and the different place that he's in now than what he was. So, yeah.
People need to know that there is hope and there is definitely light at the end of the tunnel, and you guys are going to prove it. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Yeah, well, you know, our big thing, you know, here in the UK, we go around hospitals and prisons and businesses to tell our story. But I think most importantly, we go into a lot of schools because it's the young people that need to hear it the most. You know, when I was young, I never got that message. And if I'd have got that message when I was in school, I just think it could have stopped me from getting to the bridge. So we want to stop other young people from reaching that crisis point. So that's why we go into the schools and do what we do, really.
And how do we keep in touch with you via social media? What's the best place to contact you?
Oh, okay. So you can get us on Instagram. So at Johnny and Neil. Mm-hmm. Johnny and Neil, J-O-N-N-Y and N-E-I-L. And you can get us on Facebook. Facebook.com/StrangerOnTheBridge. Yeah, so we have Facebook and really Instagram is how we communicate with people on social media.
And Twitter.
At Mr. Johnny Benjamin and at Neil Laybourne.
We'll put some of those links on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. But what a happy ending to this story and continued success to both of you.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having us on. Thank
Absolutely,
you.
Guys. What a great story. It's Johnny Benjamin and it's Neil Laybourne showing once and for all that everybody makes a difference. Being in the right place at the right time can save a life. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.